Hey everyone, thank you so much for taking time to listen to this week's sermon. It's our hope that this resource will grow you in your faith, hope, and love for Jesus. Please help us get the word out by following us on social media and sharing resources just like this. And if today's message has compelled you to take a next step in faith, please let us know by commenting on this post, sending us a personal message, or contacting us at the church office. Praying and believing that God will change you in a powerful way through His word. Blessings.
I'm preaching from two passages today, two passages and 3 points. And I want to begin my message today with words that come to us from the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 3 verses there. Beginning with verse 24. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air. But I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. And then I want to also read a passage from the letter of Hebrews, chapter 12, beginning with verse 1. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Some translations use the word entangle. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endures such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Today is the last day of the 2024 Olympic Games. I purposely did not watch even one moment of the Olympics this year for a variety of reasons. However, I make no judgments upon anyone who watched and enjoyed this year's Olympics. For me, it was a personal choice that I made. But given the subject matter of my message today, I remembered some of my favorite moments from past Olympics. I thought back to what was probably my first introduction to the Olympic Games back in 1980 and the Miracle on Ice in Lake Placid, New York. Jamie and I were just newlyweds at the time. And to add to all of the excitement, the U.S. hockey team, made up of mostly young amateur hockey players, they defeated a professional 4-time Olympic gold medalist Russian team. They beat the Russians 4-3, and then they went on to beat Finland to take the gold. It left Al Michaels asking the question, do you believe in miracles? And then I thought about one of my favorite Olympics back in the year 2000 in Sydney, Australia. And I remembered the U.S. wrestler, Rulon Gardner, who against all odds won the gold medal by defeating three-time Olympic gold medalist Alexander Karelin. Alexander Karelin was thought to be unbeatable. And then during that same Olympics in 2000, one of the greatest comebacks in Olympic history came in the diving competition. The Texan, Laura Wilkinson, came from, think about this, she came from eight places back to win the gold medal, and she did it all with a broken right foot. After that amazing, amazing victory, she was asked how she did it, and without a moment of hesitation, she told the whole world, "I could do all things through Christ who gives me strength." She gave all the glory to God. But you know, for athletes, it's not always victory, is it? Sometimes, even after years of discipline and training and conditioning, something goes wrong. There's some type of miscue or injury. But when it comes to the Olympics, I think it's a winning scenario just to make it to a place where you're competing. Just to compete at such a high level requires physical strengthening, determination that comes through nutrition, conditioning, unrelenting discipline. And in that process of physical preparation, every athlete at some point needs encouragement. Every athlete needs a coach, a mentor, a family member, someone who will cheer them on. You can do it. Don't give up. Stay the course. Life is like that, isn't it? There are times when we're moving and excelling and things are working. And there are times when there are setbacks and disappointments. But one thing for certain, we all need encouragement in the race of life. You may not think of yourself today as an athlete, but I'm here to tell you, you are an athlete. God looks upon you as an athlete. The moment you became a Christian and you left that starting line, you began to run a race, the race of your life. And what's at stake is far greater than any Olympic gold medal. That's why I began with this first passage here, because Paul likens the Christian life to running and to fighting. He says, I'm in this race, but I'm not running aimlessly. I'm not running without purpose. I'm not beating the air. I'm boxing to hit the target. There's a fight to be fought. There's a race to be run. There's a finish line to cross. And when I'm done, when I cross that finish line, what's going to be hung around my neck at the end is not a gold medal that will perish, but the eternal goal of heaven. That's why I'm striving forward. I want you to listen to Paul's testimony in 2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8. Paul says, he was coming to the end. He knew it was going to be the end. And he said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And now there is laid up for me the crown. Now, when the Bible uses, the passage before talked about a wreath. A crown and a wreath symbolizes eternal life. That's what they are. So Paul says, now there is a crown of righteousness which the Lord will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who love His appearing. Do you love His appearing? Jesus is coming back, and it may be soon. Paul wrote to Timothy, a young man, And he encouraged Timothy to fight the good fight of faith, to lay hold of the eternal. And that's what I wanted to do today in this message. I want to encourage you as a Christian believer. Lay hold of the eternal. Keep running the race. Don't give up. Stay the course. We're striving for an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Look at this. 1 Peter 1, 3 and 4. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope. That's what the world needs today, isn't it? The world needs hope. And we have that hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you. I also used this passage from Hebrews because the letter of Hebrews was written to Christian believers who had all but dropped out of the race. They were on the brink of giving up. You're not the only one to ever feel like throwing in the towel. These Christian believers were on the brink of giving up. They were weary. They were discouraged. And so the writer of this Hebrew letter, he begins to speak faith to them. He begins to talk faith. He begins to take them down the hall of faith and point them to the heroes of faith. And he talks about Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Moses, Joseph, and many others who were running the race and they did not give up, even though they faced every kind of trial and obstacle imaginable, and even death. But they didn't throw away their confidence. And he was encouraging them, hey, look at them. Look at those who've gone before. They made it. Here's this passage, the first two verses of that passage. Therefore, I believe this is the pinnacle of the letter of Hebrews. And that word therefore is there for a reason. Because all that he's already said about faith and all these people and all the things that they had gone through. Read Hebrews chapter 10 sometime. You think you have some problems? Read about some of the problems that they had. But then the writer says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance, perseverance, the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. To be encouraged today in your faith, to be encouraged in the race, I'm going to suggest we need to do at least three things here today. Number one, if you want to be encouraged in your faith, if you want to be encouraged and strengthened in the race, listen up. Lean in and hear the great cloud of witnesses. The grandstand of heaven, they're cheering us on. Those who have gone before us, the heroes of our faith, who overcame every trial, every obstacle, and even death, they are collectively speaking to us. They have a message for us. What are they trying to say? They're trying to tell us through their lives and their testimonies that God is faithful. Amen? God is able. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. If God is for us, who can be against us? We are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. Greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So these people are heroes, the heroes of our faith. They're speaking a message to us. You can do it. You can make it. You can finish the race. It's not just starting the race, but finishing the race. They are speaking. But you know, there are many voices that are speaking today, and I want to talk about some of these voices. If you're discouraged and you're getting down, you think, what's this world coming to? How am I going to make it? Can I live the Christian life? I want to ask you, who or what are you listening to? Because we need to understand today that the satanic voice is speaking loud and clear. The satanic voice was speaking in the Garden of Eden at the temptation of Jesus, and the satanic voice is speaking today, because the Bible tells us that he is the prince of the power of the air. The devil is the accuser of God's people. He's the father of lies. And here's what the satanic voice will tell you every time. You're not worthy. God doesn't love you. God doesn't care. Why don't you just give up? Why don't you just join the rest of the world? The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from us. But I want to tell you something. The satanic voice, the devil will speak lies. He'll speak all the lies to you that you allow him to speak. But not only the satanic voice, the secular voice is speaking. The godless philosophy that we have today, the secular philosophy, humanism that places man at the center and says you can be your own God, you can make up your own rules, you can define your own truth. Do as you please. Come join us. That's what the world is speaking. And the Bible says that every man does what's right in his own eyes. And the Bible also says there's a way that seems right to man, but the end thereof is death. A day of reckoning is going to come. A day of reckoning is going to come for the world today. And then what I'm going to call the self voice. this one, sometimes it's the worst one. The inner voice. Because we allow negativism to come into our minds. Negative thoughts. Death. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And when we get these negative thoughts in our minds, we start speaking them to ourselves. We condemn ourselves. We speak discouragement at times to ourselves. King David found himself in a very, very bad spot in his life. He was very, very low, very discouraged, very weary. But he had a conversation with himself. Do you know it's okay to talk to yourself? I talk to myself all the time. And David said, he was talking to himself, why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disquieted within me? Hope in God. We have to speak hope and faith and the word of God into our lives. Hope in God for the help of his countenance. What is the answer? The answer is to listen up, hear the voice of God. Folks, listen to me. I'm trying to preach. To me, this is a serious message. Your life. We're living in troubling times. We're living in the end times. Your life, your race, your Christian life depends on hearing the voice of God. My sheep hear my voice, Jesus said, and they follow me. We need to hear God's voice today. So if you want to be encouraged in the race, encouraged in your faith, listen up. Secondly, Lighten up. Lay aside every weight. Look at this word of exhortation to us. Lay aside every weight and the sin that entangles us, ensnares us, and trips us up in the race. Do you know that Greek athletes would literally strip down to nothing? In running the race, they would rid themselves of every weight, every encumbrance. And I'm told that professional swimmers and these Olympic swimmers, that they'll get rid of all body, you know, hair on their arms and so forth. So they, any resistance, they get rid of it. And that's why Paul here talks about buffeting his body. See, Paul realized, I believe this, Paul realized that potentially his number one enemy would be himself. That if he allowed sin to dominate his life, it would keep him from running the race and reaching that final goal. And so in Romans chapter 7, you know, remember the argument there, Paul's struggle, he's talking about this struggle that we all go through. He says, I know that in me no good thing dwells. And he says, the things I ought to do, I don't do, and the things I shouldn't do, those are the things that I do. It's the same kind of battle in Galatians 5:7, where it says the flesh strives against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. And so you have these two entities battling. Which one wins? Which one wins? It's the one you feed the most. And when you feed the spirit man with the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, then you throw off the weight of the natural man, that controlling, dominating flesh. What we're talking about basically is sanctification. Paul said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? And then the answer comes. He starts to talk about the Spirit-controlled, the Spirit-filled life. Look at this passage here. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. In the days when coal furnaces were predominant, the main thing, people had coal furnaces and they required a lot of cleaning and maintenance. A stony, slag-like material called clinkers would form. And what those clinkers did, it took away from the heat of the coals. It robbed those coals of heat. Folks, that's what sin does when we entertain sin and we allow it to dominate in our lives. It robs us of the sanctifying fire of the Holy Spirit. Sanctification is removing the clinkers so that the fire of the Holy Spirit can burn within us. And so today, as I share this message that God gave me this week about being an athlete for God, running the race, heading toward the finish line, we need to listen up, hear the voice of God. We need to lighten up, throw aside every weight and the sin that entangles us. And then number three, finally, here's what we need to do. Get a hold of this one. Look up. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I find a lot of encouragement in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, where Paul was confident that God, who began a good work in us as believers, would bring it to completion. It's not all will. It's not all God. We have to cooperate with God. We have to submit our wills to God. But He is the one who carries us and helps us. I want you to look at this. I'm going to close here in a few moments. Stay with me. Stay with me for a few more moments here. I want you to look at this passage that is so relevant. The words of Jesus in Luke 21. Jesus said, "And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars. And on the earth, distress of nations." I have never in my entire life have I ever seen more distress of nations than today. Can you agree with that? The world is in distress. Nations are in distress. And we're living in perplexing times. Jesus said there would be distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. When I was meditating on this week, I remembered in Hebrews where it talks about the things which can be shaken will be shaken, but the things which cannot be shaken will not be shaken. We need to be sure that we're on the right foundation. Because there's a shaking that's going to come. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to happen, say that there with me. When these things begin to happen, what? Look up. Look up. Lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near.
Thank you so much for taking time to listen to this week's sermon. It's our hope that this resource will grow you in your faith, hope, and love for Jesus. Please help us get the word out by following us on social media and sharing resources just like this. And if today's message has compelled you to take a next step in faith, please let us know by commenting on this post, sending us a direct message, or contacting us at the church office. We are praying and believing that God will change you in a powerful way this week through His word. Blessings.